In complete dependence, dear friends, upon our Lord to help us. I'd ask your prayerful attention to Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 13. Isaiah 43, verse 13. Yea, before the day was, I am he. And there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? The margin says, turn it back, or hinder it, as some say, or prevent it. An old English word that I believe is still used in the legal field, but... Yea, before the day was, I am he. There is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall prevent it? Dear friends, God himself is speaking here through the prophet. It's a word of his omniscience, his great almighty power, that nothing can overturn his sovereign will. At the beginning of this verse, yea, before the day was, I am he, the eternal God. No beginning, no ending. None can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it prevent it? Oh, dear friends, when we think of that great work of creation, all that exists in the universe and upon earth, all creatures upon this earth, all created from nothing. He spake, and it was done. There was a great void. There was darkness. But he said, let there be light. And there was light. And those 6 days of creation formed all of what we know today of the heavens and the earth. I think it's in Ecclesiastes. Solomon said he formed all things beautiful in his time. But he hath set the world in the hearts of mankind, that they should not know what he does from the beginning to the end. This omniscient God, his ways are past finding out. Now often we have to say, as one said in the scriptures, Lord, what doest thou? But dear friends, all that he does is for an eternal purpose. Either eternal life of the souls of those that dwell upon this earth, or eternal damnation. I will work, and who will let it? Dear friends, we read throughout the scriptures, don't we, of the sovereignty of God. The sovereignty of God, which had called, chosen one and another to be his people, to be favoured in his sight. We read, didn't we, in this chapter, this people have I formed for myself, they shall show forth my praise. How we communed with Abraham, led him about in the way that he would go. How mysterious was that way to Abraham. But the Lord was with him. The Lord caused all things to come together as he would have it. Abraham didn't see the promise of the covenant of that land which God would give to his seed. And Abraham didn't see the covenant promise that in his seed all the nations of the world would be blessed. All lives upon this earth are temporary, aren't they? On account of sin. A time to be born, a time to die. And so it has been, dear friends, since Adam's day through to this. And it shall be for evermore. And between the day of our birth, the day of all people's birth, and the day of their death, dear friends, the Lord's hand, the Lord's will, the Lord's purpose prevails upon them. Multitudes do not see it. Multitudes do not know it. They lie in ignorance, nature's darkness. Oh, how solemn. Where we read, there is a way that seems right unto a man, and the end thereof is death. In that same Proverbs 16, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. Dear friends, left to our nature, all we can do is lean to our own understanding. All we can do is make our plans and schemes, ruled by the desires of our heart. And those desires, Lord, those desires, dear friends, they're not of the Lord. They're for our own earthly good alone. Riches and pleasure and honour, and so forth, that we may enjoy all as much as we can of this earth. Oh, Satan tempted Jesus, didn't he? Showed him all the kingdoms of the world. All this will I give thee, and the glory of them, if thou wilt come and worship me. Fall down and worship me. Oh, dear friends, you can't tempt the Saviour, can you? He is God. There's no difference in the power and being of might and purpose of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. But creatures of this earth, born in sin, shapen in iniquity, subject to Satan's power. But there is this people. The Lord will form for his praise. The promise was way back in the Garden of Eden, wasn't it? That seed of the woman to bruise the serpent's head. And those continual promises and references and prophecies to the coming of the Son of God. Well, dear friends, how many tried to blot out that covenant, to blot out that promise so it would not come to pass? Well, we think of that queen Athaliah who sought to destroy all the seed of the children of David at that time. When I say children of David, well, his great-great-great-grandchildren probably. That there would be no seed left to carry on the line of David for the coming of Christ. But the Lord, I will work. Who shall let it? Who shall prevent it? There was that one, that youngest, who was taken by his auntie and hidden in the temple to be brought forth after 8 years to be the continuing kingship in the line of Christ, the line of David. Oh, dear friends, the Lord is sovereign, powerful, mighty, almighty, omniscient. Nothing can overturn his will and his covenant purpose. Well, there were many warfares, weren't there, to destroy Israel and to destroy Judah. But even through all those warfares, at the end of the Old Testament, God said, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob, are not consumed. They deserved to be, yes. They went into solemn captivity and dispersed through the kingdoms. But there was that remnant that were not destroyed. And from that remnant, dear friends, even though they were sinners, they were sinners still after those dreadful captivities and another 400 years of sin and iniquity. In spite of all those sins, nothing could blot out the will, the purpose, the promise and the covenant of God. He shall come. He shall come suddenly to his temple. Malachi tells us, the Lord speaking there. And in the fullness of time, dear friends, Christ did come, didn't he? Oh, I will work. And who shall let it? Who shall prevent it? Born of that woman, as of the virgin of whom it was prophesied. And dear friend, Christ came, dear friends. Oh, there were those who sought to prevent that work to be done which the Father gave him to do. That wicked King Herod, seeking subtly to come to worship but to slay him. Dear friends, the vision to the wise men that they should depart a different way. I will work, who shall let it? At the end of Jesus' life, towards the end, should I say, of Jesus' life, let alone that which came in his pathway. Oh, when they sought to stone him. When those of Nazareth took him to the edge of the cliff to cast him down. Dear friends, he departed, went through their midst. His time had not yet come. You know, dear friends, all times are in God's hand, aren't they? Christ's time upon this earth were in God's hand. He came to that time when he knew his hour had come. When he should lay down his life to fulfil the will of his Father. Pilate said, when Jesus gave no answer, knowest thou not that I have power? Knowest thou not that I can crucify thee and set thee free? Jesus says, thou hast no power at all, except it is given thee by my Father from on high. Dear friends, this God is our God. Let us ever remember that. He does whatsoever is his will. He does whatever his divine purpose is for his people. Those whom he forms for his praise. Oh, dear friends, what a question. Are we one of those whom he forms for his praise? It's his work, isn't it? Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ came into the world not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Then, dear friends, if that was the work of Christ, to bear the sins of this people, his people, all that the Father had given him on Calvary's cross. then his people must come to know what it is to be a sinner, to need that salvation, to need that great work of Christ on Calvary's cross. And dear friends, that's solemnly a desire we do not give ourselves. Or we may have a religious aspect to our lives all our days, but we need to be brought to the one thing needful: Jesus and him crucified, that shed blood on Calvary's cross, bearing the sins of many. And to know it was for me, it was for each of us that Christ came and suffered there. By his knowledge, my righteous servant shall justify many, says the Father, for he shall bear their iniquities. Oh, dear friends, this need to be a sinner, isn't it? How do we come to be a sinner? My mind goes to that hymn, I think it's of Joseph Hart. In 89, verse 89, a sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. What an unusual expression. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. The gift of the Holy Spirit to make one need a Saviour, make one know of their solemn, sinful state before a holy God, to know that they are condemned in and of themselves, and they need a Saviour, they need salvation. They need to be bought with a price, the cancelling out of all their sins. Sinner is a holy thing. Why, thou full of sin? Yet but such a sinner taught by the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, their sins are laid upon Christ, and he's borne them away. And he will bring them by the power of his Spirit into the knowledge of it. Oh, that's what we need to know, isn't it? Knowledge of all terrestrial things near to our soul true pleasure brings. No peace but in the Son of God. And dear friends, when the Holy Spirit begins that work, oh, we tremble at the word of God, don't we? We look at the sinners in the Scriptures. Oh, and we can say we're no better than they. And those who knew no repentance, dear friends, they died a dreadful death. Those of Judah who remained unrepentant, disobedient to the word of God, they died with a famine, the pestilence, or the sword. Those Jews to whom accused Jesus of being an impostor, being a Beelzebub, the prince of the devils. Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and ye shall die in your sins. Now when we look at the righteousness in the outward walk of those scribes and Pharisees, those Jews, dear friends, we come far short of that, don't we? In obedience to the law, in our outward walk. Or we cannot throw any stones and say, I'm better than you. Oh, dear friends, if the knowledge of this by the Holy Spirit makes you tremble at the word of God, then the Scripture says very comforting, to this man will I look, to this one will I look, boy, girl, woman, man, who is of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. Contrite, broken, broken hearted. Nothing in one's hand to bring, but cleaving to that cross of Christ for mercy. Dear friends, such a soul under such an exercise will not find it easy. Satan does not like to let his people go. We still have our nature. We still have our earthly desires. And we seem to be bound by them. Our own thoughts, our own wishes, our own will. Oh, how it plays such a part still in our daily lives. And we cannot submit alone to the righteousness of God in Christ. We have so many other things to affect us and attract us. And we have that hard heart. Oh, dear friends, we cannot make it soft ourselves, can we? But, dear friends, where that Holy Spirit is given, his work to convince of sin and of righteousness, not of your own, but only that which is found through the sufferings of Jesus in obedience to his Father, the blotting out of all transgression, and of judgment, that which we deserve has been put away through the dear Saviour's shed blood, having fulfilled the law for our, on our behalf. The price is paid. Yes, love's redeeming work is done, fought the fight, the battle won. Dear friends, it's when that comes to be one's chief desire, one's only desire. Oh, that hard heart is made soft as one looks upon him whom we have pierced. Yes, we mourn over our sins, don't we, and after Jesus. Dear friends, this is the good and the right way to become a sinner, saved by grace. The Lord's work. I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall turn it about? Dear friends, where that work begins in the soul, I will perform it, says Jesus. He that hath begun a good work, says Paul, in you, he will perform it. I will work, and who shall let it? They're mine. They're my chosen ones. I shall form a people for my praise. Now, dear friends, this people, for his praise, are the Church of Christ. They may not become physical, outward, confessing members of a church here upon earth. Dear friends, the Lord is sovereign how he works, and at the times he works in the hearts of his people. But they shall come. I shall come to that knowledge of Christ, their Saviour. The one thing needful, the joy and rejoicing of their heart who gave himself a sacrifice for their sins. And he will be very precious. Dear friends, I think we have a lovely account here, don't we, of Mary Morris, just departed. She's been brought up to attend the house of God all her days. Father being a gospel standard minister. And dear friends, a life in its outward form, so distant from so many outward carnal things and entertainments and attractions. Very much all centred on the house of God and the word of God. And dear friends, in her early days she wasn't without a sweetness of some hope of eternal life. But like all others who may have that moment, there's much to take it away. And dear friends, she came where she was greatly plagued by her afflictions for many, many years. You find in that which she recorded her writings Oh, how she desired the Lord to appear. And if you could put it in another way, it was the fear of death. He wasn't fit to die. She did not know assuredly the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which he read of and that which he heard of in the preaching of the gospel. It was her longing desire, but she feared. And dear friend, Satan took hold of that fear in the last year of her life. He brought her into great mental affliction, where there was no hope for her. She feared to go to sleep for the dreadful dream she had. Oh, how, when we taught to read the word and speak of it to her, seeking the comfort through it for her soul, she said, "It's no good, there's no hope for me." And several times she was going to die that night and lie in hell. Satan is a mighty foe, isn't he? Seeking whom he may devour. But the Lord Jesus came into the world, as we read in Hebrews, to deliver all those who through bondage were in the fear of death. And this proved, dear friends, to be the truth with Mary. Oh, I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall prevent it? Those last weeks of her life, she became more peaceful. She had hope in a hope now. Not full assurance, but you could speak of her in the scriptures, and she would listen, and more than often she said to me, "I do hope so." And then in those last moments of her being able to communicate, the question was asked her, "Is Jesus precious?" There was an emphatic yes. Almost the last word perhaps she spoke. "Jesus is precious. The Lord had appeared, granted the salvation of her soul. I will work, and who shall let it? Not even Satan. He can't hold back, dear friends, the Lord's people from that glorious place he has prepared for them in heaven above. Dear friends, what about you and what about me? We have our individual lives to live, don't we? They're very different in their circumstances. For some, there's far more natural griefs and sorrows, pains and afflictions. Some, it appears, more easily go. But, dear friends, we're all sinners, aren't we? And the Lord knows how to make us come down to our end for everlasting peace. He knows our hearts, he knows our minds, he knows our wills. He knows how strong we are in of ourselves. And dear friends, those hearts have to be broken. Those hearts have to be removed. Though the things in the heart have to be removed from sinful and iniquities and transgressions and from idols. Oh, how easy it is, dear friends, to have idols in our hearts because we're of this earth earthy. And we love those things which give us comfort and peace and love and security. And dear friends, how we can make idols of so many things from which we benefit. But dear friends, thou shalt have no other God before me. That's one of the basic first commandments, isn't it? And dear friends, how we need to seek earnestly all our lives, to pray earnestly, "Lord, deliver me from the power of sin. Bring me, Lord, into thy tender fear and depart from evil. Do not let me lean alone just to my own understanding. Help me to be much in prayer. Oh, increase my faith that I look to thee in all things, at all times. Those decisions I have to make. Oh, some of them, dear friend, may have to be made urgently. Wasn't that the case with Nehemiah? When he was before the Ahasuerus, the king, he feared, oh, the way the Lord would have him go. And the king said, what is thy request? Then I prayed unto the Lord my God. In a moment, in an instant, the Lord gave him strength to speak what was right. And dear friends, if we have to make decisions urgently, oh, do not fail to lift up your heart to the Lord. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And dear friends, it may have to be like this. Lord, if I choose the wrong way, then stop it, prevent it, shut it up, that I may go the right way. Dear friends, we have many such prayers, don't we, David? Show me, Lord, now thy way. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in him. He will bring it to pass. What will he bring to pass? The right way. The right way where these circumstances, solemn some of those they are, sicknesses, pains, bereavements. Oh, dear friends, difficult circumstances, maybe poverty and aggression of people rising against you and warfare and whatever it is. We know not what another day may bring forth. But dear friends, now we have to pray, Lord, be my keeper. May all things work together for good. Do not I love thee because of thy love for me? Hast thou not begun a good work in me? Then, O Lord, do perform it. For thou art a God that shall work, and no one can prevent it. Thou art a God, and there's none that can deliver out of thy hand. What a mercy. None can deliver you out of the hand of God in spite of all sorrows, tribulations and difficulties and troubles which may come in your path. It's the throne of grace, isn't it? There to pour out our heart, tell him all the truth in the name of Jesus. Lord, do hear my prayer, answer my need. Cause me to walk in thy ways. Let me find mercy again and again, thy grace to help me in the time of my need. What did we have the other prayer meeting? Moses saying, the case that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. Dear friends, all that Moses brought, all that was brought to Moses, Moses committed it unto God, didn't he? He didn't trust in his own self. And neither should we. Oh, bring it unto me, unto Christ, a greater than Moses is here. And dear friends, he, God that supply all your need, will do according to these riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Then trust in him, dear friends, at all times. I often finish towards a sermon with that, don't I? Trust in him at all times, ye people. Perhaps you can't find or say you are his people. That's what you're looking for. Oh, but that work has begun. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. Tell him all the truth. God is a refuge for us. No matter who we are, where we are, in whatever circumstances we are. He is faithful that hath promised. Yes. He is with you always, even unto the end of the world. And he can work all things together for good. And he shall work all things together for good. Oh, as we look back over our lives, what a wonderful thing it will be if we see all griefs and sorrows as well as joys and thanksgiving, all fitting together to bring us perhaps towards our last end. to know that Jesus is the one thing needful. Oh, the losing of our hold upon the things of this earth. They've grown strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And to look on and to look up, waiting for his appearing. Dear friends, it's the work of God, of this people, whom he forms for his praise. I will work, and who shall let it? Who shall perform it against? Who shall perform against it? No one. The victory is his. Oh, the Apostle Paul is clear, isn't he? Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? So it is with dear Mary. The sting of death is sin, but the gift of life is in Christ Jesus. And to live with him forevermore. And dear friends, may these sacred truths, under the power and influence of the Spirit of God, be yours and mine all of our days. That we live our lives seeking, dear friends, to know these truths and then to live in accordance with them, obeying his voice, all his will esteem, to love him as he has loved you. Dear friends, that's the way everlasting. Oh, don't hold back from it. Say, oh, I think this is the best way. I think my way is the right way. I don't think I can go in that way of his revealed will. No. Dear friends, disobedience never brings happiness. It won't bring eternal happiness either. Look to Jesus, kind and strong. Mercy, joined with power. Oh, the Son of God, who fulfilled the work of the Father for the saving of the souls of all that he gave him. Yea, before the day was, I am he, the eternal sonship of God. With the Father before the world was, he commanded, it was done. Without him was not anything made that was made. There's none that can deliver out of my hand. No, the Father placed them into his hand. In eternity past, gave them unto his Son, that they should be saved by that grace to lay down his life, a sacrifice for their sins. I will work. Delight to do thy will, O God. And who shall let it? Who shall hinder it? Who shall turn it back? Who shall prevent it? No one. Oh, dear friends, what a wonderful thing it is to be saved by grace, through faith, not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Then, dear friends, do glorify his name. Do look unto him, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Amen.